So I come back to our Ranger PT program that, and the cadre there were like, you know, that's great. We know that you can fight through no matter what. You have endurance, you have drive, you have grit, determination. And the cadre are like, yeah, but you know, you're going to have 100 pounds on your back if you go to Ranger school. And he said, so you need to do some squats and deadlifts. And I was like, yeah, Roger, Sergeant. But I got into the squat and deadlift and I was like, this is cool. Like, this is way cooler than running. Like, way more exciting being in the gym and like throwing heavy weights around and getting better. I was like, this is so much cooler.
Yeah.
So I like stopped running, like completely shifted and just turned into this like strength training, power progression. But it was at that point, like the end of 2014, beginning of 2015, when I just like straight up switched gears and went from Boston qualifying marathon time to straight on full on powerlifter.
Welcome to the future is female powerlifting. A show where women of all strengths can explore the world of female powerlifting. I am your host, Heidi Donnell, a 60 kilo powerlifting gym owner, and each episode we bring you an inspiring interview or a message to help you unlock your true inner strength potential. Thanks for tuning in. Aloha, my beautiful friends. Welcome. We are on episode number 78, and I'm loving this episode. It's very different than our usual guests, and I think the only reason it's going to be the most unique guest that I've had is that Miss Emily Lilly was the first National Guard female to finish Ranger school and become a Ranger. Like, the magnitude of how big this is so huge, and it's amazing that she is one of us. She is a power lifter. I actually competed with her at last year's North Americas in Alabama. Gosh, it's my own state. Hello. And she's stinking strong. Like, you're going to hear her story about how she didn't let her mindset of just being a woman or being a mother who is in her late 30s stop her. She really realized her own potential and went for it. I tell you, at the end of it, I was immensely inspired by so much adversity that she had to overcome and really had to, you know, grind through some of the most difficult terrain and obstacles and things that I would have never known about. And I was so curious to hear about what her whole story was. And she gets to share it with you today. And you know, this episode is brought to you by Core Strength and Performance, where we live through strength. And you know how it is. We do some online training. We do in-person training. And if you are interested in online training, having somebody who's going to help you progress through not only your powerlifting program itself, but how to gear up for a meet, whether it's your first or your 10th, we can help you through that. So visit core256.com and we can talk about training. Hey, and if you're listening to this episode, take a screenshot, share it with me on Instagram or TikTok. I'm actually on both of those, kind of crazy. But share it with me and I will share it with our people. I love to share when we have people listening, and I know our guests love to see that. So let's get it started with Emily. Yeah, let's just get into it. I love just going into it. So I was shocked to read that you were in retail for like this whole time, right? And not really into fitness or anything really like that. And then you decided to choose something that was your kids could be proud of, like something that was just more meaningful, I guess. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, growing up, I had been in fitness. So as a child, I was a swimmer. I started competitively swimming when I was 7, continued all the way until I was 18. But when I went to college, like I went to Virginia Tech, which is a Division I school, and there was just no way I could do that. So I swam on my own. I did workouts and stuff, but really I was a student. And then after I got out of college, like just trying to decide my path and what I wanted to do, I'd been working in retail while I was in college. And I was like, I liked the fast paced nature of working in retail and, you know, just staying on my feet and staying busy and every like customers coming at you all the time. So I loved that part of it. And I just stuck with it without really thinking about like, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? It was like, I'm happy in this now, so let's go with it. And then after my kids were born, I had a couple bad experiences with some supervisors. And it made me kind of reevaluate things. I actually got fired from a job for, of all things, reporting theft. I reported the theft, and it was a very small company. And so the person that I reported for theft got with her buddy, and they kind of conspired to get me in trouble. So I ended up getting fired. I had to sue them. I settled with them.
Shut up.
Yeah. So I settled with them. So they couldn't ever say that they fired me. All they could do was say I worked there. But after that, I was like, man, this isn't what I see myself doing for the rest of my life. So I said, I want to do something where the job is the reward, where it's like, it's something bigger than who I am. It's like a bigger organization. It's a bigger part of making the world a better place. And so that's when I decided to start looking at various jobs like police officers, things like that. And I was searching online. I found the National Guard. I was 33 years old. And
crazy.
I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, the National Guard, you think, oh, they go out there during floods and snowstorms. And I was like, that's the job I want. I want to go out and I want to be helpful in my community.
Yeah.
So I just like cold applied online.
Holy
recruiter's
shit.
The recruiter's probably like, what the fuck is this girl? Like, yes. What is she doing? You know?
Making and my so job easy.
Like, yeah. He calls me and he's like, you don't have any broken bones, right? You don't have any felonies. You don't have DUIs. And I was like, no. Like, I'm good. He's like, okay, come on in, we'll talk. So he brings me in and he's like, so, you know, tell me what you want to do. And I was like, yeah, I want to do like the state active duty stuff. I want to go help out with the flood detail and snowstorms. And he's like, yeah, you have to have an army job. And I was like, I thought that was the job. You know? And he's like, no, that's an additional job we do in the Guard. He explained the dual purpose and that you have to have an army job. And I was like, I have no idea. No one in my immediate family was military. So I was like, I don't know what I want to do. And he's like, well, here are your options. And he starts talking about various things. Like, do you want to be an MP, military police? Do you want to be an engineer? And I was like, eh. And he's like, do you want to be an officer? Do you want to be enlisted? Like, I have no idea what I want. So finally, like, he asked me to take the ASVAB to narrow down the course of options. And he's like, okay, so you're going to be an officer.
Right. You're smart. You're going to be an officer.
And then he's like, well, you know, here are the jobs that are available. And I'm like, you know, it's kind of like, I don't want to drive too far. So he's like, how about this job 10 minutes away from you? It's got a $10,000 bonus. And I was like, yeah, that's the job I want.
What? That's crazy.
What I want. Yeah. And so I was in ordnance. I was maintenance control. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm getting myself into, but it's going to be fine. So, I mean, so our age, you know, we were in the be all you can be generation.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you saw the commercials and everything. And so I was expecting that like basic training was going to be absolutely brutal. Like, and in my mind, because I have no idea what's going on, I don't know these kids that are going. I was like, I got to train all summer. I was going to basic training in August. I was running outside with a weighted vest in the heat of the day, training up to go to basic training. I was like, I got to hang with these like 18-year-old football players.
Yeah.
I get back to basic training. I'm now 34 years old and I'm like the most physically fit person there.
See, this is what happens. People don't realize like, yeah, they're 18-year-old boys who probably just hit puberty and just finished. You know what I mean? Like they're not necessarily specimens. As civilians, I think we think that, right? Like we do see the commercials. We see all these quote unquote heroes and things like that. And in our mind, the military have like a specimen body, but in reality, they're just normal people.
Yes. And you know what was so funny? And I could not relate to this at all. But we're there in our platoon and the drill sergeants are asking us like, hey, why'd you join? More than half of my class joined because they like playing Call of Duty. And I was like, oh, we don't just push buttons here. So they were video gamers. That's why they really weren't Jape. They just love playing military video games.
Dang, just imagine what they did. That's a rude awakening right there.
Oh my gosh. Yes, it was. For those kids, I remember looking around and being like, how are these kids going to survive?
Well, you know, I believe that you're sort of an outlier. Like you, I mean, you're very freaking strong for everybody listening. Like we competed together and you're just a base strong. So I think it's like, then when you found sort of this avenue, you really realized, right? Like you could be better at this. So you went into basic in pretty good shape overall, conditioning and some strength training, but not powerlifting, right? That wasn't until later on. So Right. So you go through basic, you do great, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, I was the high PT scorer for my platoon.
That's so crazy. That is so crazy. Okay, so then you're getting into, and you're training, you're being this. What made you kind of go into Ranger school?
So when I finished basic training, I went to officer candidate school, did pretty well there, but I got pretty beat up because it was very grueling, very physically demanding. And so I came out of that and I was like, well, clearly I'm not strong enough. You know, I didn't want it to be so hard. So I was like, so I trained all summer. I had to go to my branch officer specialty course, which was ordnance at that time. So I went to my ordnance basic officers course, and that was the time, it was summer of 2014. They just announced that Ranger school was going to be open to women. And so I was like, oh, that's awesome for those young women. Not for me. You know, but I was like, you know, that's great. I think that women should have that opportunity. But in my mind, again, it's those 26-year-old studs, and there's no way I'm going to hang with them. So I'm like training up and getting ready to go to my school. And I was in a discussion group with some people who had gone to my commissioning source, and they were like, women shouldn't do that at all. And, you know, women can't even meet the physical standards to go. And I was like, well, that rubs me the wrong way, because I don't like being told I can't do something just because I'm a woman.
Right.
So, of course, the first thing I did is said, what is the physical standard? I had no idea, but I was like, let's look it up and see. And it was like 49 perfect push-ups, 59 sit-ups, 6 chin-ups, and a 5-mile run in 40 minutes. Push-ups, chin-ups, whatever, that's no problem. I was so, like, I was just generally pretty strong with those kind of things. But the 5-mile run, I was like, ooh, I don't know if I could do that. So I started training to run. It was like, I've got to be able to run these sub 8-minute miles. So I started training up for that. Yeah. And so by the time September, October rolled around, like, I could coast sub 8-minute miles for a long time.
Wow.
And so they had a pre-ranger PT program there at my basic officer course, and started doing a lot of additional strength training and things like that. And at the time, I was just starting to run farther and farther. And I was like, how far can I run sub 8-minute miles? You're gonna laugh at this one. So in November of 2014, actually it was the end of October, I was getting to the point where I could run like 20 miles almost at that pace. And I was like, I wonder what a good marathon time would be. I'm just curious. Never run one, never trained for one. I'm just out running. And I look, and I was at Fort Lee, Virginia. The Richmond, Virginia Marathon was gonna be held like 2 weeks later. And I was like, I'll just sign up and run it. Like 2 weeks later, signed up, ran the Richmond Marathon, did a Boston qualifying marathon time, 3:32. I didn't break 8-minute miles until like mile 20. And I ran like an average 8:04 pace or something insane like that.
Wow.
So I'd never run a half marathon in my life in a race. And I just went out and ran this full marathon.
Oh,
so
my goodness. See, there's just a mindset a lot of times, like, people overlook, like, military, like, it's, you just got to get it done, right? So it's like, you just keep grinding, right? I think people sometimes,
that's the goal.
You just grind through, which has its place. And sometimes it's shitty when they go back to being civilians, because that's all they do is like grind, 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 grind. But in this case, like, it's really good because it worked in your benefit.
Yeah. So I come back to our Ranger PT program and the cadre there were like, you know, that's great. We know that you can fight through no matter what. You have endurance, you have drive, you have grit, determination. And the cadre are like, yeah, but, you know, you're going to have 100 pounds on your back if you go to Ranger school. And he said, so you need to do some squats and deadlifts. And I was like, yeah, Roger, Sergeant, let's see what I need to do. One of my buddies had talked about doing 5x5 strong lifts. So I went to him and I was like, hey, how do you do squats and deadlifts? Can you show me this? So he takes me in the gym and another buddy, and we went in, we started practicing. I learned the basic mechanics of the squat and deadlift. I'd benched before as part of my strength training for swimming, but never, like, I did one bench press competition in college just for fun, but really no competition. But I got into the squat and deadlift and I was like, this is cool. Like, this is way cooler than running, like, way more exciting being in the gym and like throwing heavy weights around and getting better. I was like, running, you're just like grinding it out mile after mile. I was like, this is so much cooler.
Yeah.
So I like stopped running, like, completely shifted and just turned into this like strength training, power progression. I was still focused on going to Ranger school, but I wasn't able to go until several years later. But it was at that point, like the end of 2014, beginning of 2015, when I just like straight up switched gears and went from Boston qualifying marathon time to straight on full on powerlifter.
That must have been fun. And then which is kind of shocking, and you're glazing over this part, but you have a world record bench, right? Did you hit the world record?
It was the squat and the total that I got.
Total, that's right. But your bench, you opened with like 205.
Yeah. Yes.
It was ridiculous.
My bench has always been a really good lift. And I think it was because of all of my time swimming when I was younger. Yeah. I was a sprint freestyler and butterflyer, and I had so much power in my lats and my back and my chest. When I was a little kid, you know, they did this presidential fitness test. The first time I got up on the pull-up bar, I did like 9 pull-ups. The other kids were like, how do you do that? I was like, I don't know. You just pull. Like, I didn't know. I never had to learn how to do a pull-up because I had so much upper body power. Mm-hmm. So the first time I ever benched, it was like 135.
Wow.
So that struggle that so many women face of like, oh, I want to bench the big girl plates. Like, I never had that because I started out at 135.
That's so crazy.
So I progressed pretty quickly. And yeah, my best bench is 237.
Which is crazy at 148, everybody. Yeah. And she old. We old. We 40 years old.
That's right.
With old people.
Yeah.
You're 42 actually, right?
Yes, 42.
She's 42. She's even older. Okay, so you started switching over, and then you did a powerlifting meet shortly after that, right? We were talking about this.
Yeah, so, you know, I'd been doing just the three basic lifts, but incorporating into overall strength training, conditioning, and endurance, because I really wanted that Ranger School slot. So everything I did was like, what am I going to do to get ready for Ranger School? And so I didn't really pay attention to any kind of like powerlifting competitions or anything. I didn't know anyone who was doing them. And again, it was kind of like the marathon thing. I was like, hey, my bench is getting pretty good. I wonder what like would be good in a competition.
Yeah.
And so I just Googled like local powerlifting competitions. And I found that there are a lot of USPA competitions in West Virginia. And I looked and I was like, oh, shoot, man, I'd have a state record if I went and did a bench press in a competition. I was like, hey, yeah, maybe I'll do that. Sounds cool. You know, I think it'll be fun. So it was October of 2015. It was my first competition. It took me a while to get my squat up. I remember it took me a while. I was almost benching as much as I was squatting in mid 2015. I was like, yes, I broke 200 pounds on my squat. And so by that competition, I think I'd gotten up to like 250 was what I squatted in the competition, but I benched almost 200.
That's so crazy. And what's your squat at right now?
341 is what I got at North American.
That's crazy.
So I've added almost 100 pounds to my squat in 6 years.
That's so crazy. Okay. Yeah. So walk us through Ranger School and this whole thing, because I think everybody listening is going to be like, what? This is so fucking nuts that you went from using powerlifting or strength training and then eventually powerlifting to help aid you in Ranger School. So do you feel like, because it was a few years before you went into Ranger School. Was that 2016 that you went into Ranger School?
It was 2017 that I went into Ranger School.
So tell me a little bit about it. Like, how is the process like for when you start off? Like, how long is it? How grueling is it? Because I've heard stories, you know, and I've heard stories. I think, I don't know. I've heard some stories. So I'd love to hear a little bit about how it was for you.
Like I said, I originally wanted to go in 2014-15, but it was still the test program for women. And I'm National Guard. So of course, funding is an issue. Like a lot of times the men can't even go to schools that their male counterparts on active duty are going to. So there's that double-edged struggle of me trying to get into a Ranger School slot. When late 2015, the Secretary of Defense opened up all combat arms positions to women. Well, I had been in this support position. And I immediately said, that's it. I want to switch. I want to switch and be a combat arms officer. And so they allowed me to switch and become an armor officer, which is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. You got tanks and stuff. Tank
company commander. Yes. The firepower of getting in a tank, 72 tons. The whole thing rocks when you shoot a main gun round. Yeah. That's how powerful the gun on a tank is.
That's so crazy.
But so, so they let me switch to being armor. And so when they did that, I said, okay. Now that you're letting me go to armor, you're letting the male lieutenants go to Ranger School. I want to go to Ranger School. And they were like, fine, you can go to Ranger School. And of course, you know, thinking back, I wonder if they were just like, we're going to let her do it so she can finally shut up about going to Ranger School.
Right.
I was like, okay, you know. So I'm 37 coming out of Armor Bullock. I went to the recon course. I went to pre-Ranger. And then I turned 38. And then later that summer, or in October, I got to go to Ranger School. And I remember when I was finally going, I was like, oh, shit. Like, what am I thinking? Like, you know, it's all these like 22 to 26 year old guys. They are bigger than I am. They are stronger than I am. But I was like, all right, you know what? I'm not quitting. Yeah. And that was that attitude that got me through the marathon. That got me through all the training. Was like, I am not going to quit. They are going to have to kick me out of this place. So when I went through, it was still pretty early for women to go to the course. And there's just a lot of that mentality of like, women don't belong here. Women can't hack it. And so you go through your first phase. Well, your first week is like, it's a week long entrance exam to the course. So you report on Sunday, they make sure your paperwork's right. You've got all the packing list you're supposed to have. You get to bed, I don't know, like 11 o'clock at night. They wake you up at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Some people didn't even get to sleep on a bed because they didn't have enough beds because they know they're going to drop so many people. So they get you up, you go out in formation and you do a physical fitness test at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Holy shit.
And it's the push-ups, the sit-ups, the chin-ups, and then the 5 mile run. And, we lost like 80 people in my class during that event alone.
Wow.
So yes, I mean, that's how strict they are on the standards. And, I remember doing my run is like 38 and a half minutes and like getting my pass on my pushups. And I was like, yes. Okay. One event down and like keeping that 25 meter target of like, just keep hitting the objectives.
Yeah.
So you finish the run. We've lost 80 people already. Then they go and you change into your uniform, pack another uniform. You got to run now like 2 miles down to the pond where you do combat water survival. So you're like running down, you're sliding down this, this rope, kind of like a zip line. You're walking across a high beam that's like swaying. And then you got to climb on a rope and do all this crazy stuff. You do a swim in uniform, carrying a weapon. Lost more people on that event. Now we changed. We carry now our soaking wet uniform back up the hill, running the 2 miles back to the camp, go hang out our stuff. They gave us a little introduction class. And then that night we had to do combatives, which is like basically like hand-to-hand fighting in a pit. Like, and so imagine we've been doing this all day long. It's now like 10 o'clock at night. We're doing hand-to-hand fighting in the pit. Then they send us back inside. We get maybe like an hour of sleep. You're up at like, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning. Cause then you're doing land navigation the next morning. So walking miles out in the brush by yourself to find these points in the amount of time that you're allowed to. So you have 5 hours, took me 4.
So you have like a map and stuff and you're kind of like.
Yeah, you got a map. You had to plot your points. You're not allowed to use any kind of light or anything. So you could plot like using a light to plot your points, but mm-hmm. your movement is all just completely dark. So wow. You're just out walking around in the woods, looking for your points, hoping you get them, possibly walking miles. Cause I mean, you're walking straight for like 4 hours, possibly 5. After all this, then you come back. If you pass, then you move on and you have to do tactical tasks. So you're like assembling and disassembling weapons and radios and claymore mines, little explosive devices, stuff like that. You pass this test, then you get to stay in the course for longer. But they're like dropping people for each of these events as we go through.
How many people did you start with?
Classes start with around 400 people. I think it was a smaller class and we had like 3-something. But by the end of the week, my company was down to like 35 out of 100.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So tons of people are getting knocked out by all these events. And then the final thing is like you have a 12-mile ruck march. And normally like for soldiers, you train on this all the time. It's no big deal. Like, okay, yeah, I can walk a 15-minute mile. But you are wiped because they have been smoking you. You've been doing Y squats. You've been doing walking lunges with your rifle over your head. All these other events. You haven't slept in a week. And now they're waking you up at like midnight, early Thursday morning to go do this 12-mile ruck march with 55 pounds on your back, plus a rifle in the dark. You're exhausted. So I remember just doing that ruck. And again, that was where that marathon training really helped me, just like mentally being like, okay, just keep going, staying on pace and watching. They had mile markers out there and be like, okay, I did a 14 minute on that mile. So I'm banking a little bit of time, then be like, ooh, that was a 15:30. Better pick it up.
Yeah.
You know? So I finished it in like 2:57. You had 3 hours. And I was like, yes, I'm in the course. So that's it. That's the entrance to the course.
Holy shit.
That's how you're allowed to stay and actually do the course.
So how many women were passed, do you know, like at that part?
So when I was in my class, I was the only woman.
Okay.
Yes. But before, so the day that I started my class, the eighth woman ever graduated from a previous class. So eight women had finished the course in the Army since before I started. So by the time I graduated, I was the 13th woman to finish.
And the first course. National Guard woman.
Yes. And still the oldest woman to date to finish the course.
Oh, that's so awesome. Listen, that would be my claim to fame too. Like after what you just told me, I would be like hanging my hat on that motherfucker. Like yes, I did all that and I was 37. Okay. And had two kids already.
Not even the worst part. Not even the worst part.
Okay, wait, what's the worst part?
So the school has three phases. The first phase is called Darby phase, where you're just like, you're learning the basics of small unit tactics, squad operations in Darby. It's called Camp Darby. And it's near Fort Benning, Georgia. So the terrain's not too bad, but it's just like, can you lead a group of soldiers? Do you understand basic soldier tasks? So it's not that bad. It can be kind of rough because there's not much sleep, but it's a little bit tough. But then if you pass that phase, some people say that's truly the entrance exam to the course, because the next phase is to go up to Dahlonega, Georgia, the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, and to go do platoon level tactics in the mountains. I did it in December. It was brutal. It was so cold. There was so much snow. People had chilblains. I didn't feel my hands or feet for days. It was awful. That was a real testament to your mental ability. The packing list sometimes, depending on what position you were in, what equipment you had to carry, up to 125 pounds on your back.
That's crazy.
So each phase you have a chance. If you fail it, they can let you take it again. So I had the great pleasure of doing the mountains phase twice.
Oh shit.
So then I remember the next phase, you go down to Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. And so you're doing swamp level operations. So you're doing like waterborne operations, you're paddling down rivers, you're like walking through neck deep mud and water to get to your objective and stuff. Yeah, I got to do that phase more than once too, but it was flat. So it was okay.
Oh my gosh. That is so crazy.
Yes.
So how long is that whole process, Ranger School, like outside of that first week?
If you go straight through, the first week of the three phases is 62 days. But everyone jokes that it's 62 plus days, because it's 62 up to like, there were guys who would do like recycle multiple times. They get to the end, they're failing. The brigade commander says, go back and start over on day one. So guys spend over 200 days in that course sometimes.
I've heard of people recycling like three or four times. I'm like,
yeah, 155 was all I had to do. So if I had recycled one more time, I would have turned 39 in the course.
I can't even imagine that.
Older than almost all the men that I was in there with. And it was funny because like some of the guys looked older. And the instructors would be like, oh, yeah, he's the older guy. Listen to him. And they'd be like, yeah, she's older than I am.
You're like, that's right.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
Mom, listen to me.
Yeah. So that whole process must have been crazy. And I saw that you shaved your head. Did you just feel like you wanted to cut your hair out?
It's required.
Okay. I didn't even know.
Yeah. So it's more for hygiene reasons than anything else. Because as you're getting in there, like your body is so broken down, like, I had cellulitis at one point. I had some weird ass rash. I don't know what it was. But shaving our heads allows them to catch a lot of those, you know, skin conditions that are starting, or like sometimes guys would just pass out. You fall asleep standing up, hit their heads. They want to be able to see if you've got any kind of injuries. So I think that, it was unreal. The things that I saw in there and the things that I personally did. I could tell you some crazy stories.
Okay, so I want you to tell me one story of something crazy that you saw, and then one story of something crazy you did or you had to do of some sort.
So a lot of times you hallucinate because you've had so little sleep and you're just like running on empty all the time. And I'd heard people talking about like talking to trees and stuff, and I was like, whatever, I'm totally clear. Like I see what's going on around me. Well, one day we're coming off the objective. And so we're kind of going in a single file line. I can see the guys in my squad up ahead of me, and I'm following along behind them in the woods. And I look over kind of off in the distance to the right, and there is a little girl in a white dress sitting in a chair. And I was like, why are they walking towards that girl? Like, do they not see her? And I'm like freaking out in my mind about like, this is like terrifying to me that this little girl is sitting over there and they're just walking. And I was like, but it's wrong. Everyone's going crazy. And as I walk, I keep walking and I'm like watching this girl and she transforms into a tree stump. And I was like, oh yeah, there was my moment.
Oh my gosh. That's so crazy. That's like weird. Like you're in the desert hallucinating water.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You're absolutely hallucinating and seeing things. You're hearing things. Like a lot of times you'd think someone was talking to you and you'd respond and they're like, who are you talking to? Because your mind is just playing tricks on you because you've had so little sleep. You're so exhausted. You're so close to done.
Yeah.
And you just have to keep going.
That's okay. So what's the craziest thing you saw other people do?
So on those mountain roads, a lot of times we'd be walking and like it's a road that's kind of cut into the mountainside, steep on one side and a drop off on the other.
Oh my gosh.
I remember walking along this road and I'm like following the people in front of me and I look over and there's this guy like clawing his way back up the hillside. He had veered off because I guess he was sleepwalking and falling, kind of rolled down the hillside a little bit and had to crawl back up. And I was like, man, I'm awake. Like, that's not going to be me.
That is so scary. He probably would have rolled down the mountain.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So did anybody like get brutally injured or anything like that or anything crazy?
Not while I was there. I saw a lot of like cellulitis and some abrasions, chilblains. One guy got contact hypothermia. The worst we saw, one guy did fall really far and hit a rock. So they airlifted him out, cut off his uniform and everything at the hospital, and it turned out he was fine, no injuries. And they were like, okay, go back to training. You're fine. I don't know what else you want.
And I'm sure he was probably like, I can go back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's obvious in there who wants it and who doesn't.
Right.
Because you'll see guys who are like, oh, I'm just going to have to take a med drop. And then there's other guys who are like, there was one guy who broke his foot, heard it crack. And he was like, I can't tell anybody because he wanted to finish the mountain phase, get to Florida. We got to Florida. He reported to the medics and they were like, yeah, you broke your foot. And he sat there for two classes waiting for his foot to heal before they let him start again. But he was like, I'm not doing mountains again.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. I think I would do the same. Like, I would think that I'd want to do that, you know, like, because it's so grueling. That's it. Yes. So tell me, like, what's the mindset that you have to have throughout something like this? Because it's like, one, only the best of the best can do this. And I think that there's so much mental fortitude that goes into that, that I can't even imagine the type of conversations I would have to have with myself. You know what I mean? Like, is it, what motivated you to, one, go to Ranger School? So, I mean, that's pretty hard stuff, you know, just to prove somebody wrong. I feel like it has to be, you know, more deeply motivated than that. And like, what kind of thoughts were going in your head in order to finish something like this?
So yeah, definitely. There was a lot of just self-talk and mental strength. And I think one thing that helped me was I knew I was an older person. I knew I was a woman. I knew I was smaller and I had those disadvantages. So I didn't walk into that school thinking, oh, this is going to be fine.
Right.
I knew the young guys who walked in the gates and were like, yeah, this can be no problem. And as soon as they hit that first adversity, they were done because they had no idea how to deal with any kind of failure or setback or anything. Whereas my entire training had focused on, this is going to be the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And I know that there's going to be times I want to quit. There's going to be times I don't think I can make it. And I have to find ways to overcome that. So when I did my training, some of my long ruck march days that I did on my own, like I lived in West Virginia at the time. And I would just like, I would go in the New River basically you could just climb up about 1400 feet of elevation along like the riverbank. Because it's basically a deep chasm, you know?
Yeah.
And so I ruck through there on my own. And I remember just pushing and pushing and being like, okay, this is as far as I can go. And then stopping and saying mentally, like, you can always take one more step. And so while I was training, I was in the like, you can always take one more step, just one more step, keep pushing. And so when I got into the course, I knew like, even on days when I thought I was done, I was like, I could always take one more step.
Yeah.
I never failed. I never died. I didn't die yet. No. So I guess I can keep walking.
Yeah. I mean, just even the recycling, like, and use that term, and for people listening, is pretty much she just goes back in and does it again, like the term would explain. But I think, like, some people don't recycle, you know, like they leave after that point. They don't want to do it anymore, right? They don't have it in them to keep going. And so when you were at your second recycles, you said, like, if you had recycled one more time, that would have been it for you?
If I'd recycled one more time, I would have turned 39 in the course. So they do limit the number of times you could recycle each phase. So if you can recycle for different things. So I had a classmate who did mountains 4 times. Yes, because he recycled for 4 different things. So fortunately, I was never in that situation. But yeah, I did the 1 Darby, 2 mountains, and I did 3 Floridas, but I recycled for 2 different things. But again, like I said, Florida was flat. It was sunny. I was like, I could walk around in neck deep mud. That was fine. I thought that was awesome. Like, that was my favorite part.
Listen, but that's a great outlook. I'm going to tell you right now, people listening are probably like, what? That is also not good.
Fine. There's alligators. You know, oh, I do have a funny story about that. So you paddle down this river several times during the course and you do some training on it. And I think it was the final day we paddled down the river. And it was my last time I was going through Florida. And there's this like 8-foot alligator sunning on a log, maybe 25 feet from where we're paddling. Oh,
goodness.
And the guys are like, oh my God, I'm not getting in this water. And I was like, joke's on you guys. We've been in this river like 6 times already. Yeah. Like, there comes a point, it's like, if I die, I die. Like, I'm here now.
Yeah.
Your mind is so messed up at that point that it's like, focus on completing the mission.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay.
So you recycle for different reasons, right? So you're saying like there's different criteria you got to meet. And so if you recycle for different of, I mean, you could come back and recycle if you failed one portion of that.
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. So you have to pass your patrols. So that's like an absolute that you have to pass your patrol, because that's the main thing that you're doing in the school is like, can I lead a group of soldiers through this type of mission and meet these objectives as, you know, as we take on this, tackle the objective. But then they also, and this is where it was really hard being one of the early women in the course, they also do peer evaluations where your classmates rate you. And there were some who clearly didn't want women there. And so as I was going through, almost all the women going through when I was going through, we were passing our patrols, we were failing our peers. And so I got to do mountains the second time, even though I'd passed a patrol go on my first time in mountains, I got to do it again. And then the same thing in Florida, I passed. And then my classmates said, let's see you do it again. So, you know, anything a guy has to do, a woman has to do better. We just had to do it more times.
Yeah, totally. It's like, you got to do so much more to prove yourself.
Yes. And so there were several women as I recycled, like I interacted with some other women in the course, and we all had that same struggle where we'd pass a patrol and we'd get peered. And so we're doing a phase again. And it was like, you know, like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. And then a lot of our mentality was like, we've seen these guys who like sucked out there, barely passed their patrol, and they've graduated. So if they deserve to wear that tab, then I deserve to wear that tab.
Yes. That's the mentality you got to have.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
And that's what carried you through there at the end.
Okay. So now you pass Ranger school and like, there probably was like a lot of publicity and stuff about it. Right. And so how was that for you? Your kids saw you and, you know, like mom's got a shaved head.
Yes. So they were so excited to see me. So it was really hard when I was recycling because there's no contact with the outside world. Mm. And I remember like I would get to call home as I was a recycler and be like, hey, I'm not coming home yet. And I remember the last time that I recycled, and I called home and my son was like, when are you coming home? And I was like, it's not going to be for like 3 more weeks. And he was like, okay, because I really need a Google Play card so I can download this game. And I was like, is that all I am to you?
You're right. Like, no, I missed you. I really need a Google.
So I talked to my ex-husband. I was like, please. Get him his Google Play card and I will be home as soon as I can.
That's so crazy.
I think in a lot of ways, my kids were, I think they were 7 and 8 at the time.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think I think they had no idea what I was doing and how momentous it was and how amazing it was. They just knew that I was gone again for another school because I'd been gone for my officer courses, for basic training and everything else. So for them, it was like, oh, you know, finally she's home. And I remember I was getting ready to go to another, just a regular Army school. And my daughter was talking to her friends on her soccer team. She's like, yeah, she's going to have to shave her head again. And I was like, no, that was just that one school, that one time. I never have to shave my head again.
Unless so I want to.
Exactly. It's for me, not because someone told me to.
Yeah, right.
So I think now that they're getting older, I think they understand some of it, like that some of my pictures with the kids get circulated in a lot of stuff. And I'll tell my daughter, I'm like, hey, you're famous too.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I'm in a magazine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like a good age for that because they're not aware a lot, you know, like when Devin was gone. And I mean, he probably did a lot more schooling early in our relationship. And yeah, it's like, they don't remember it. You know, they don't really remember it. It's like a blip on that, on their whole childhood, you know?
Exactly.
But they must be so proud of you. I know they probably don't understand the magnitude still. Like they're going to be like an adult and be like, holy shit. Like, that's so crazy that my mom did that. Like, that is so crazy. Like, I know I would think that like, wow, I never understood that really.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is part of the show. Or ask everybody, which I feel like you're going to have some really good ones.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
What the hell was I thinking? When I think back to a time, hopefully in your powerlifting, but could be fitness career, where you did something really stupid and you think, what the fuck was I thinking doing that? Can you think of a time?
So there's so many things that I've done that while I'm doing them, I'm like, why did I think this was a good idea? Like, what am I doing? So I guess my best one, and it actually turned out okay, but it could have had the potential to go really bad.
Oh gosh.
So I ran that marathon in 2014, and then I switched over and I did powerlifting 2015. I competed in another powerlifting meet in the beginning of 2016. And then one of my friends said something like, yeah, but it'd be really cool if you could do both. And so I was like, could I do both? And so the National Guard Marathon was May 1st of 2016, and the West Virginia State Championships for powerlifting was May 7th of 2016.
The following and then I had a week?
Like 6 days later, and then like 2 or 3 days after that, I had to do my Army physical fitness test. And I was like, hey, no sweat. I can do whatever. I can do anything, you know? I'm like, I guess I was 36, almost 37 at that point. And I was like, sure. I can do this. I can train for both. No one can tell me that I can't. So I developed this crazy program where I was doing squat, bench, deadlift Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I was running Tuesday, Thursday, and either Saturday or Sunday. And so my runs on these days, like I was getting up to running like 20 miles. And then I was doing squat, bench, deadlift the next day.
Holy,
you can imagine that. Got
guacamole.
So my goal was, it was a little bit out of reach. My goal was to qualify for Boston again, which would have been a sub 340, which is like an 821 mile, I think. And then to set an American powerlifting record the next week. So I was like, I totally can do this. It's fine. Like, why not? Why can't I do this? So I ran an 345 marathon, which is an 827 pace. It was so hard and it hurt so bad because I had so much more upper body muscle than when I ran my previous marathon, and I hadn't run like 20 miles, I think was the longest I ran. So I hit that like 22 mile mark and I was done.
Yeah.
And I was like, I gotta keep like slogging it out. And I remember I had to pee so bad. And I was like, if I stop to pee, I won't be able to start running again. Yeah. So I was like, I just gotta keep running. So I ran through, and because it was the National Guard Marathon, the Adjutant General of the state where the marathon was, he was there to hand medals to all the National Guard runners. So he stopped me there like 5 feet from the finish line, put the medal around my neck. And I was like, yeah, thank you, sir. I could barely take a step after I stopped. And I was like, oh boy. And I had to fly home.
I was like, are you going to crawl over the line at that point?
I just crossed the line, but I had to make it over to like all the snacks and the hydration and everything. And I was like limping.
Yeah.
It was bad. And then I had to fly home. And then the next day I was like, well, how do I have any idea what my openers should be for this meet? that I'm doing now in like 5 days. So I go in the gym and I was like, all right, whatever I can hit now, 2 days after this marathon, that's my opener. And I remember squatting like 250 and benching like 185 and then deadlifting. I can't remember what it was, maybe like a 330 or something like that. And I was like, those are my openers. Well, when I run, I tend to be a little bit lighter. As a marathon runner, you know, you lose more weight. And so the other what the fuck was I thinking moment of this entire thing was, you know, now that I'm a little bit lighter, let's try to cut to 132.
Oh my
so goodness. Meanwhile, I'm trying to like refeed and rehydrate and then do a water cut to try to weigh in. Well, I cut down and I waited at like 134 and the meet director was like, oh, you know, go sweat out this last 2 pounds. And I was like, there is no way.
Imagine if you would have told him, you like have no idea what I just did.
No, I ended up because I'd been in several beats with him and I did tell him and he was like, you are insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I ended up, I still like, again, this is 6 days later at that 134 body weight. I squatted 275, benched 198 and deadlifted like 358 or something.
Well, those were good openers then. You were pretty good. So
those were the final from that meet. But I was like, probably shouldn't ever do that again.
Like, all those people who are marathon runners and powerlifters that are listening, don't ever, one, put them back to back, and two, try to do a replenish and then a cut right after that, because that probably won't work out too good.
all of that in general is a bad idea, but makes for a cool story.
It does make for story. I feel like you could check that off a box, you know, like this is like something you did. That's freaking crazy.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Dude, this has been so great. I am so excited to, you know, share this story with everybody because I think, you know, we never get to hear this. And when we do see people like you who have gone through Ranger School, it's something like, oh my gosh, that woman over there, not really knowing like, oh, that woman's part of our community. She's a powerlifter, you know, and she's doing that. And so like you've been competing ever since, right? Like you've done a shit ton of meets.
Yes.
That's pretty awesome. So what's the next one?
So I'm thinking about doing the nationals in Atlanta in May.
I'll see you there.
So the issue is because I'm a National Guard member that I have drill weekends. And it seems like every time there's a drill weekend, that's a good powerlifting meet that's local. And so that's my struggle of finding meets that fit within my drill schedule also.
Yeah, that's funny because May is always drill. Like we have somebody else who's a National Guard. Dustin Joyner, he's one of our judges. His wife, he was actually judging there in North America. His wife is Emily. But yeah, he's always gone those weekends during this like spring, summer, because it's like he's always got drill.
Yep.
Well, I would love to be able to compete with you again. That would be fantastic. I will be there at Nationals. I know that'd be really great. But thank you so much for sharing your story and for being a badass and inspiring other women to be badass too. You know, us old women, you know what I mean? Like,
that's right. Showing them how it's done.